for those of you who sometimes tell me, boy, I wish that you would talk a little bit more, or your sermon's been a little bit longer, I'm going to disappoint you today. This is going to be a short Sunday. Every time I put something together, whether it was the prayer or the talk, it just felt right at the length that it was at. So just know that that's going on. You're going to see that immediately here as I jump into our readings. Because I have two readings, and I think both readings altogether are about three sentences. So, but they work. It's just why it feels good is what I wanted to do. So with that said, I'm going to start with a reading from Isaiah. Reading from chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We had meaning, understanding and meaning to the reading of those words. And then a one-line quote from the great philosopher, Winnie the Pooh. I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been.
A song by Ben Harper.
Ooh. Today is entitled Done with Advent. As you might assume, just from the title of that message, I have an unpopular opinion about Advent. The truth is that even some progressive ministers who I have great respect for disagree with me about it. You see, I believe that the way churches work way too hard to keep Advent relevant is an issue. I also happen to believe that it's symptomatic of the church's larger issues. See, while Advent does, it dates back to the 4th or 5th century, the reality is it's a made-up office of the church in which Christians are supposed to prepare for the birth, anticipate the birth of Jesus, a birth story that many scholars now agree is, at the very least, not entirely historical. Originally, though, a second season of spiritual preparation for those who were to be baptized is what Advent was really about. You see, Constantine basically had this entire nation that wasn't Christian that he needed to make Christians, so he had to baptize them, and he just discovered there just wasn't enough time during Lent to get them all taken care of, so he created Advent. Not so surprisingly, most churches no longer emphasize that part of Advent. So, when it comes to its original purpose, it is actually no longer needed. It's also become known as a season of, as I've already started to indicate, anticipating not only the birth of Jesus, but also Jesus' second coming. So, I also have to say, if you don't take the Christmas story or the concept of the second coming literally, even the new adapted reason for Advent is, well, lacking, to say the least. The reality is that you don't need to be a scholar to recognize many of the issues and discrepancies that we find in the Christmas stories. And yes, it's stories, not story. As a matter of fact, lots of folks do find discrepancies and recognize that. And the church's sort of dogmatic demand to take literally things that are so obviously not literal, like the Christmas stories, well, that is actually one of the reasons that people lose their faith or at the very least walk away from church. See, in my mind, though, there is a simple solution to fix that problem, at least that part of it. It's simply to take more time to explore the birth narrative stories, and doing it on Sunday mornings more frequently than what we do. You see, admittedly, in the church, if you are following the church liturgical calendar, spending time exploring the Christmas stories would not only be done on Christmas Eve and Christmas, but also on the Sundays following Christmas. However, nowadays, let's be honest, most of Western society has moved on from Christmas at that point, and so many churchgoers have little interest at that point in continuing to look at the birth narrative. Christmas Day has passed away. So, the outcome frequently is that the church regulates the Christmas story to 2 days, Christmas Eve and the Sunday closest to Christmas Day. And let's face it, on Christmas Eve, many churches are doing little more than conflating the two birth narratives and reading the story as it's recorded in the text. And that's fine. It's fine. It really is. It makes for a wonderful service. We do it ourselves frequently. But typically, there is no questioning of the two different birth stories on Christmas Eve. More or less, is there a deep exegetical consideration of those very texts, which leaves us with basically one Sunday to explore the rich theological teachings of the Christmas stories. All the while, most churches hold on tightly to the made-up season of Advent for the weeks leading up to Christmas, during which most of the rest of Western society are already participating in Christmas events. So, a made-up season whose two earliest purposes have seen better days and are not so much needed, particularly for progressive churches. To me, it just makes so little sense. Now, There are those in the church who at least recognize that reality. They do recognize it, and to some degree at least. And they try to, I'm going to call it market, they try to market Advent as a pushing back on the pre-Christmas celebration, that rush to get to Christmas. But in reality, as we've talked about already, Advent's been around since the 4th and 5th century. So no, it was never meant to be some sort of pushback against what I call consumerism. Frankly, I see it sort of as a desperate attempt by the church to hold dogmatically onto a tradition that is not only long past its usefulness, but is actually a contributing factor to the exodus so many churches are experiencing. I can't help but think, what if instead of hearing the same themes of Advent over and over again each year, and in trying to force the earliest parts of the Christmas stories into those themes, what if we recognize and appreciate Advent's usefulness in the past, but move on to something more contemporarily relevant? Maybe instead of relegating the exploration of Christmas stories to one or two days, we do something like digging into the various lessons of the birth narratives alongside a society who's already beginning to celebrate. The way I see it, that would be much more engaging and relevant to folks than the pushing back against Christmas idea of Advent. If anything, we should be excited about making such a change. Behold, I do a new thing. Christmas has become a central story of the Christian faith, yet, if we're being completely honest with ourselves, in so many churches, we relegate it to little more than 2 days a year. True story or not, there is a certain amount of joy, hope, peace, and love. So those Advent themes right there won't be entirely gone because they're in the story. But instead of forcing the earliest parts of the Christmas story to fit neatly within those themes, and only those themes, why not? Why not expand that to explore the other themes of Christmas? I mean, truthfully, when it comes to discovering the teachings of Jesus and how to live them out in our lives right now, I no longer find spending 4 weeks talking about waiting on joy and waiting on hope and waiting on peace and waiting on love. I never find them a particularly fulfilling pursuit. If anything, Jesus was all about practicing those things in the here and now. And part of his point is that we are fully, each of us are fully capable of doing it. There's no need to sit around waiting for the arrival of Jesus just to be able to do it. I believe the weeks leading up to Christmas and the Sunday after Christmas should be full of Christmas stories. And as I said, yes, we should still keep the themes of joy, hope, peace, and love. But we also need to recognize and talk about the equally predominant themes of the Christmas story. Things like compassion, confronting the powerful, and equality. You've already heard it in our music today. So, that is actually what we're going to do. Next week, rather than talking about the liturgically pre-prescribed verse from the Gospel of Mark about John the Baptist announcing the coming of Jesus, an event that happened when Jesus was already about 30 years old, instead of that, we will look at the real announcement about his arrival. Mary's song, the Magnificat, a story that foreshadows what Jesus' ministry will be about, particularly when it comes to things like liberating the oppressed and overcoming those who use their power to step on and marginalize others. And then in the weeks that follow, we'll spend time considering other parts of the Christmas stories. And this year, instead of conflating the readings through the Christmas stories on Christmas Eve, we'll have a short homily that continues to explore the themes of the birth narratives. As I said when we began this message, lots of folks see the church's dogmatic demand to take literally things that are so obviously not literally true, like the Christmas stories. They see that as non-congruous with being a rational person. And it's one of the reasons that people are losing their faith, or at the very least walking away from church. I believe working hard to keep Advent relevant is symptomatic of the church's larger dogmatic issues. Letting Advent and the dogmatic adherence to it die could very well help make a difference for those who see the church letting dogma and history override their God-given ability to think. It's exactly what progressive churches should be doing, and so it's exactly what we will be doing this Christmas season. So, I hope to see you next Sunday as we take a look at Mary's powerful announcement of the coming of her soon-to-be newborn son. Let's take a moment and bow our heads together. In the midst of our preparation for Christmas, we are reminded of those who find it much more difficult to find joy in this season. We're reminded of those who live in places where they struggle to find clean water to drink, food to eat, even a safe place to sleep at night. We're reminded of those here in the U.S. who don't have enough food to make it through the week or even through the day. Those who don't have a roof under which to sleep. Those who have had their lives turned upside down because of an illness. Those who believe life will never be the same because of the death of a loved one. As we remember each of them, may we remain mindful of them this holiday season. Let us be led to seek out ever-increasing ways to share love with them. May we be encouraged to re-envision what Christmas has become and to practice it more humbly with love for all of creation. Amen. See this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
Cheers.